listening to the Miracle Word Podcast. We believe that the Word of God gives you the power to experience never-ending increase in every area. If you're ready for revelation that will take you to the next level, you're in the right place. Here's your host, evangelist, author, and founder of Miracle Word University, Ted Shuttlesworth Jr.
The reason I did this, I'll tell you why. Of course, you know this now. By now, you should. All week long, we're dealing with how to thrive and dominate in the end times. With everything that's happening, all that's going on, you've got to know by the Word of God how to thrive and dominate. Just because things are going south in the world, just because the sin does abound, the Bible says grace does much more abound. And so every night we've been covering a different aspect. Last night I just ranted on five different things that you should never say, never ask. If you missed that, go back and check it out. But tonight I want to cover this because without question, the devil is after people's families, the next generation, the children. Look at what's happening. Look what's going on in our schools, families, grandchildren, children, the things they're facing on a daily basis. The gender dysphoria, confusion, perversion, all the things that are happening that Jesus prophesied would happen. Here's the good news. God has a plan to bless your family. God has a plan to bless your children. God has a plan to bless your grandchildren. And so I want to read this to you before we, Carol and I, get into teaching this, because here it is right here. This is, by the way, if you're taking notes, this is Psalm 115, verses 13 through 16. We love you, Heidi. He will bless those who reverently and worshipfully fear the Lord, both small and great. That's important. May the Lord give you increase, more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So look at that. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. He'll bless those who reverently and worshipfully fear the Lord, both small and great. So it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter where you live, what side of the tracks you grew up on, how much money you have in the bank, none of that, how much influence, both small and great. The Lord will bless those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. May he give you more and more increase, you and your children. So God has a plan. In fact, I want you to start by putting that in the comments. God has a plan to bless my family. God has a plan to bless my family. And there's no question about it. There will never be a time, no matter what's happening in the world, there will never be a time that God doesn't have not only a plan, but the means to bless and protect your family. Amen. To bless and protect your family, your children, your grandchildren. Hallelujah. And so, and you can come back to me and Carolyn. I want to get your thoughts on this too, because as we're teaching this tonight, we see so many things. We get tons of prayer requests. We deal with families that, you know, need a touch from God. We see things that we've seen miracles happen, but there are so many things that we see and you sit back and think, man, you can't make everyone's decisions for them. Like you can't force people to do things. You wish you could, but you know, people
all the time,
you preach, you give people, you know, the Word of God, you give people advice. You can't make them take it. You can't make people take advice, but there are steps you can take. There are actions that you can take that will keep you and your family separated from the spirit of this world and from all the effects of the spirit of this world and what everybody else is dealing with, and it's not going to become your story in Jesus' name. So just because you see that something is happening doesn't mean it's going to happen to you, doesn't mean it's going to come upon your children. So there's, you know, one of the things that I was talking to Bishop about today was all the things you see in these universities right now. What's going on? All these riots, all these different things, these protests. And even when we send Christian students away to school, university or whatever, It's mind-blowing that you can send them out there and all it takes is one lecture from some professor, and then they're like, they've lost their faith. They don't believe in God anymore. They don't believe in Christ. They don't believe in the Bible. We're sending people out that are so ill-prepared for the world that how sad is that? It only takes one class with one professor, and that though they grew up in church, grew up in a Christian home, they're like throwing all of it to the side. Why? They're not prepared. So there are things you can do that you've got to be very, very careful. We're going to work on a book that's coming out very shortly regarding children and family. And I've talked a little bit about it. We're calling it arrows. And all of the things, the Bible used that analogy for a reason. But, you know, there's a reason the Bible did it. And the Holy Spirit inspired it. Because your children are like arrows in your quiver. They're not just to be randomly thrown. They're to be shot with a purpose, in a direction, toward a target. You know, and there's a lot we're going to talk about. But what are some of the things, you know, that you see that parents could easily do, families could easily do, that would bring that supernatural protection on their kids, on their grandkids? I know one of the things you and I have talked about often is really, really guarding relationships.
Yeah. Because what, you know, we tend to go by the world system a lot. We do the, you know, they need to go to the doctor at this age, and they need to do a well checkup at this age. And then at 18, this is when they become an adult. But it's like 18 is still young. And kids are graduating school at 17. And they're not prepared to go out into the world. And it's not because they're all immature. It's still a learning phase. But this world's so ingrained in parents that as soon as they turn 18, let's kick them out of the house so they can be on their own. But, you know, it's imperative what your children are a sponge. And so it's imperative what you have them around, because everything they're around, everything they hear, everything that they consume is soaked into them and forms who they are.
Yeah.
And if you can get the foundation of the Word of God in them, and one of my things that, you know, we've both been really strong on is making sure they understand the voice of the world.
Yes.
Versus the voice of God.
Come on.
Because if you can get them to hear that voice at a young age, you've set them up spiritually mature already, and you do it by practice. You know, we do simple things where, you know, we've taught our kids and we've given them rules, and you know, we talk to them. It's key to talk to your kids. Yes, I get it, the whole like mom said so, dad said so, and that comes into certain situations. But it's very vital that you communicate with your kids. And one thing that I've always done is when there's a correction or any type of moment to teach, it's always out of, well, what would the Word of God say about it? This is the benefits from it. You know, we teach our kids not to be scared of the Word of God and the bad things that will happen to you. Because if you teach them all the good things and they get to taste and see that, they're not going to want to do the other things. They're not going to want to go out and sin, and they're not going to want to go live unholy and impure. And so it's important that you teach them to hear the voice at a very, very young age. And, you know, we'll do that with our kids now. I've always been very guarded of my kids, of what they hear and what they see and what they watch. But there comes a time, you know, when you have your second and third kid.
That's right.
Where I couldn't just watch what Maddie, everything she was going to. You know, and we read the parents' guide and we do this, but still till this day, Maddie knows, at 14, she'll say, can you look this up? And then I will tell her, I'll say, okay, I read about it, but these are also parents' guides, not necessarily from
written by Christians,
written by Holy Ghost, you know, filled people. So they give me an idea, but if you feel a check in your spirit, I want you just to turn it off, because
right.
It's not worth it.
And tell about when the time you did it when she was still really young.
Yeah, she was really young, and her friend was allowed to watch some show off Disney, and I've always been mindful of that. And the thing is, yeah, they have an agenda, and I'm not like, oh, you can't do it because it's Disney. Because there are some Disney movies you watch as a kid. You know, I've Beauty and the Beast. Maddie's favorite thing was Cinderella. And so, you know, there's that stuff. But then they have the teenager shows, and I never let Maddie watch the, you know, middle school, high schooler shows and dating and all that when she was real young. And so she started a show with a friend when we were at a meeting. And then I didn't care for an episode that I heard, and I had asked Maddie, and I said, Maddie, you know, is this something? She's like, yeah, it's fine. And that was on the trip. And then 2 days later when we got home, do you remember this, Maddie? We lived in Virginia Beach. And she came to me and I was like, hey, are you watching that show? And she goes, no, I didn't feel like finishing it. I don't think Dad would have approved of it also, and Jesus.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, and I've never had to fight my kids to not watch something. They've always understood. I've said, yeah, you know, you can't watch that. And they've never once given me a hard time about it.
Yeah. Come here, Maddie. Grab a chair. You can take your headphones off. Yeah.
You're joining the family talk.
Bring a chair. Join the family talk. Put your hands together for the one and only Madeline Elizabeth. Yeah, come in the middle. I'll let you take Dad's mic. It's Maddie Bear.
Hello.
Maddie is, this is our first year in high school. And bang, look at that. this is a long shot from Miracle Word Kids.
This is definitely different.
But Maddie, you remember, see, one of the things that, you know, now you're a teenager, you're around more and more young people. You know, how important is it to you, like last year you went, this year we're going back again, to be impacted spiritually, you know, as a teen, like with things like at Fire Week, you know? Like how important is something like that to you where like you know, you're very much pressing in to the anointing and everything, and you see your friends doing the same. You know, how important is that to young people to have that kind of a connection with the power of God?
I know it's really important because I know I've seen like lots of like public school kids, and I've heard like from my friends that are in public school, like, oh yeah, it's definitely not a good place to be. Like there's lots of kids that do a lot of bad things and stuff. And I know that it's like easy to with like temptation and stuff. So that's like good to always be in the power because like it's easy to fall into the temptation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're always in it, it's like is harder for you to be persuaded into the devil's temptation. Because of, like, you know in your spirit, like, you know, okay, my spirit's, like, stronger. I know not to do this because I know Jesus wouldn't like it and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then at the same time, it's like when you're in the anointing or when you allow your spirit to be sensitive to God's spirit, you feel, like, I'm sure you felt like that night when she was talking about the iPad, you feel that conviction, like, in your spirit, like, you just know the Holy Ghost is telling you this is not for you, this is not right. And, you know, I'm sure you've with other things, you know, like even being around people, if people start to say certain things, you just automatically know and sense that versus if your spirit's not made alive or if you mean not made alive, but given that ability to lead you. And most people are led by their flesh and their emotions, you know, which we see with a lot of young people. But like what would you say is like the major takeaway when you go to something like that and you're a part of Fire Week or you're in these Holy Ghost services? What do you notice different about, you know, kids that are in that environment versus, you know, kids that really aren't in that kind of stuff?
Like how they act differently?
Yeah, what do you notice? Any differences about it?
I think, like, obviously there's, like, no, like, people, like, being disrespectful a lot. There's a lot of more respectful kids when, like, they know, like, when they're, like, with authority figures, like, other pastors and, like, youth leaders and stuff. I've seen lots of kids, like, be more respectful than when I see kids, like, out in public, like, when I go with my friends' places. I see kids, like, that can be, like, really disruptive.
Some of the kids now are, like, insane.
They are insane. Like, when I will, like, go around places around our city, like, our neighborhood with my friends and stuff. Our city. No, but, like,
we send Maddie out on the streets, and she just roams.
No. Like, when I'm, like, with my friends'
places. She got a motorcycle.
Like, when I, like, go to, like, Starbucks or stuff with my friends and, like, school gets out, there's some kids, they can be insane sometimes and, like, shouting and screaming a lot being very
and screaming insane things.
Yes.
And being just like dirty.
Yes, it's really annoying. I'm like, please sit down, be quiet.
It's like they've had no one raise them properly. It's just like they and some of them may not have. And they come out of homes, it's very possible, not Christian homes, broken homes, and you see there's a definite difference between, you know, public school.
Well, this world has made it where parents have to go into work and long hours. So kids are going to school, coming home alone, making their own dinner. And I get that some of that happens, especially if there's single moms and stuff. And then that just makes it where we have to work harder. It's not that, you could say, just some people have it easier. But you know what? Parenting is parenting. And so it is work. It's work in no matter what situation that we have. And we're responsible. These are gifts literally from heaven that God has blessed us with. And, you know, one thing that aggravates me is people who are like, I don't know if I can have kids because this world's so bad and so scary. But that's a slap to our Heavenly Father.
Right.
Who made us to be, you know, one beings who can have children. And, you know, we're his greatest creation. Out of everything he's made, us humans are his greatest creation. And to be like, I don't think they can be protected. The Lord's not going to do that good of a job right. If I have a kid is so terrible for our Heavenly Father to hear that. It's like, no, you can raise them. You're responsible. Nobody else is responsible to raise your children. And they're gonna emulate what you do.
And
so you need to be on fire for Jesus. You need to pray. You need to fast. You need to read the word of God.
Right.
You don't leave it for your Sunday morning pastor. Mm-hmm. You don't leave it for your Wednesday night youth pastor.
Yeah.
And you don't leave it on to others. We're all here to help. We're the support system outside of the family. You know what I mean?
Right.
The youth pastor is a support system. They're helping your kids get the word of God throughout the week. The pastor on Sunday, helping them fill them up. Everyone else is a support system. You're the responsibility. You're the responsible party.
Yeah. And not only that, children are a blessing from the Lord, the Bible says. Blessing. So to actually act like, oh, no, I don't want to have kids. I don't want to bring any kids into this evil world. No, you're missing out on the blessing that God gave, the children that God gave you are blessings. And it's vital. Speaking of like reading the word, staying in the word, and Maddie, I noticed that recently you and your friends, it's funny because Britt was just saying the same thing about like Brady seeing these kids, like these public school kids, like, Mom, if I ever talked to you like that, you'd knock me out. Like, no question about it. But, you know, recently you've been doing like a Bible study with your friends, like on like via FaceTime or Zoom or whatever, yeah. FaceTime. And, you know, it's vital. Like, you know, I started having you do your, and Mommy, having you do your Bible reading and making sure you're on a schedule of like, what are you reading? What are you meditating on? What are you reading in the Word? And then now you guys are leading it, you know, for yourselves and with your friends. What do you think what have you noticed about that as far as when you're doing it? Can you tell like the difference now that you've been reading the word and it's like getting in you, and now like you wouldn't have even been able to lead a Bible study or have your friends be able to lead a Bible study if that's not something that you already had in you?
Yeah, like I could definitely tell like when I wasn't reading my Bible and versus when I was reading my Bible, it felt a lot different and like it made me feel a lot better. Like it just like, I don't know what it was. It was just like the joy of the Lord, but like it just made me feel better on a daily basis. And like, We're doing six chapters a day. We're going through the Old Testament right now. We just finished the New Testament. But it's like, just, I don't know, it just like makes it feel like easier.
What makes what feel easier?
Just like day to day.
Life,
yeah.
Yeah. Because Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life. So literally the word of God is spiritual life that goes into your spirit, into your body, into your mind. Here's something that people don't realize, and I think this is good to mention at this point. And by the way, if you're taking notes on this, the key that we're on right now is a God-first mentality in your home. Please put that in the comments. God-first mentality in your home, with your kids, with your grandkids. Because I understand there's people that are watching right now that you've been made responsible for your grandkids too. Some of you are watching. You've been made responsible for your grandkids. It's a God-first mentality among your kids, in your home, with your grandkids. And something that people don't talk about often enough, in my opinion, is that the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, when you ingest the Word of God, it doesn't just affect your spirit. People think, well, I read the Word, it builds my faith, it touches my spirit. No, it actually touches all three parts of your being, all three parts. Of course, it affects your spirit, man, because Jesus said, again, John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So number one, when the word comes into you first, it hits your spirit. It hits your spirit. This is what people don't get. It hits your spirit before it hits your mind. Your spirit's catching it first. But then, on top of that, the word of God affects your soul. And your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. He said, Lord, I found your words, I ate them, and they became unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart or my soul. So the joy that he felt, yes, it's a supernatural joy, but did you know it can literally drive depression off of your mind? But then you go further where the Bible tells us that we are to transform ourselves by what? The renewing of our mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. How do you renew your mind? You renew your mind with the Word of God. How does God wash the church, according to Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5? By the washing of water by the Word. By the washing, if you need that reference, Ephesians chapter 5, by the washing of water by the Word. Let me give you the exact reference so that you have it. So that affects your soul. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. This is what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5. And it says in verse number 26. Actually, I'll read verses 25 and 26. Ephesians 5, verses 25 and 26. Actually, Maddie, you read it. Starting in verse 25 and read 26 too.
Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word.
There it is. That he might sanctify her by what? Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. How do you renew your mind? By the word of God. You know, if you don't transform by the renewing of your mind, you'll conform. That's why the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so the Word of God touches your soul. But on top of that, the Word of God touches your body. And the theme scripture of our ministry is Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Also, Carolyn, read Proverbs 4 and verses 20 through 22. Proverbs chapter 4, mic shift, Proverbs 4, 20 through 22.
For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole.
No, starting with verse 20.
Oh, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words.
To my word.
Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate them deep in your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body.
That's it. There it is. So, it brings what to their what? To their body. So the Word of God affects your spirit, the Word of God affects your soul, and the Word of God affects your body, all three parts of your being. So when you were just saying, you know, I don't know what it is, you just, every day you feel better than if you're not reading the Word of God. It's because all three parts of you are being daily affected by God's holy, incorruptible, inspired Word, your spirit, your soul, your body. And that's key, because there's kids right now that are so confused. And we talked about this on the first night, how the Word of God's a mirror. There are kids right now that are so confused. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. They don't know where they should be, because their minds are not renewed. And I'm telling you, if you just toss, you know, have you seen anything like that, Maddie? Like, I know you don't go to public school or anything like that, but by the way, Maddie's the fastest runner in her grade. she's homeschooled. But if you've been around, you've been in other situations, you've been around friends and people that are, you know, have you noticed that where there's like just a marked difference? Have you noticed anywhere where you can see like kids that are like outside of that kind of an environment, you can just tell being around them that like they have a marked difference about their life?
Like when they're are not Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like I can just tell by the way their attitude is kind of, and even if they are if they think they're Christian, but they still have an attitude, it's like you're not exactly living for Christ, but you can kind of tell when someone's living for Christ. They kind of have like a thing about them, like just the way they act and how they are.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of tell, and you should be able to tell when someone's living for Christ.
Yeah, because the fruit of your life should speak for itself.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the whole point, is that if it's not modeled at home, where are you going to get it from? You're not going to get it from public school. You're not going to get it from your friends. You're not going to get it from Netflix. You're not going to get it from YouTube. You're not going to get it from TikTok for sure. And so and Jess put this in the comments, no relationship with God, not getting into the word causes a lot of the issue where authority's flipped. Exactly right. Too many parents don't set the standard in the home because you have to be able to see it. You have to be able to see it modeled somewhere. You got to have to see it modeled. And look at this.
It's okay to say no to your kid.
That's right.
It's okay. It is okay. I'm going to tell you right now, it's okay. Just look in the mirror and say, I can do it. I can say no.
No, Maddie.
But I mean, like, everyone wants to be their kid's friend. And although Maddie is my friend, she also knows I'm her mom. And we have a great relationship. But we've made a point where God's first in the house, and there's no discussion about it. I keep these verses in my back pocket for young people. And I mean, you know, because people are like, how do you keep your kid, you know, from not leading into temptation, and how do you keep them from not sinning, and how do you keep them pure? And it's so easy. I love Proverbs and I love Psalms because literally it's very basic, meaning like it's very plain. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. It's not like you have
practical
to
practical instruction.
You don't have to like reread it and find out what's the revelation in it, which, you know, some verses are like that. But this one is, these two are so super simple.
Yeah.
Super simple that if your kids apply them,
yeah,
it will be great for them in life. Are you guys ready? Okay. It's Psalm 119:9. Listen to how super simple this is. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. That's it. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. And then if you drop down two verses down, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So your kids are filling themselves up. So when a temptation, when there's a possibility that they could get into a sin that, you know, their kids are trying to get them into, or trying to peer pressure them in, they have so much word in them that they can walk away in boldness, not being mean, but they can just say, no, that's not for me. That's not right. I'm not going to do it. That's not what I live for. That's not what I believe.
Right.
And then they have the whole world is against your children. No, I've had reels put out where I've said that before, and they're, what do you mean by that? I mean exactly that. Like, I'm being practical. The whole world is against your children. They want to confuse them. They want to lead them down a bad path. They don't care about them. They think they have their best interests in them. It's not. It's just a money maker out there to get your kids hooked on pills, to get your kids hooked on medication, to get your kids hooked on everything else that the world has for them. But instead, we need to go to the Word of God as parents. We have, I love that, you know, that, I don't, what was it, is it a YouTube video or was it on Twitter? It's like, you had one job. That's what I want to say to some people.
You had one job.
You had one job.
One
That's
job.
It. One job.
Yeah.
You had one job. And it's the most important job. Yes, we all have other jobs out there that have paychecks, but this is the most rewarding.
Yeah.
How terrible would I be if I travel around this world and try to witness to other kids and put out Miracle Word Kids and get people saved and speak to women all over and leave my kids to not even serve the Lord,
right?
To have them bitter, to have them not care, to have them not go after it, mm-hmm. it's not going to happen.
No.
Because guess what? I have one job and that's I can right. say no.
Yeah, exactly. Rose said, "What?
Does she look like she's unhappy? I don't think so. So you can say no and your kids can still be happy.
That's right.
Parents are afraid. They're like, oh, your door's locked. Can I come in? No, Mom. Okay, I'll come back later. Not going to fly in my household,
down.
Buddy. Just letting you know right now. Yes, not going to lie."
Rose said, "What brought me back when I was young and wandered away from God was remembering the life that my mother led in front of me. Her life with Christ, her mother's life with Christ." And that's right. Kids want truth. And to be honest with you, I'll tell you, kids don't just want truth. They want authority.
They do. They want discipline. Kids act out. I know, like, you know, the kids hear the word discipline, they're like, but it's true, because there is no chaos. There's no chaos. There's nothing chaotic God made. There's no chaos in his kingdom. Everything is in order.
Yep.
Everything is at peace. Everything is at joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's out of order. So yeah. When you put your kids before your husband, out of order.
That's right.
When you put your family before God, out of order.
Yep.
All of it's not going to work. It's not. I've had people try to argue with this, you know, and putting their kids before their husband, and it's not going to work.
Because
it's out of order.
Yep.
So if you put things out of order, then just chaos happens.
Yep.
And so it's in order. It's in God's instruction to discipline. It's God's instruction for the way a home unit is supposed to look.
That's right.
So when you take it out of order, it's not going to work.
If you look, I mean, we've disciplined our kids from the very beginning. I mean, we took Maddie came out of the womb. The doctor made sure she was breathing, gave her that little pop on the bottom, and then I spanked her with a belt right there. No, but the point I'm making is, you look at my kids. We've disciplined them.
Leslie, she always says that at church.
She does.
That's right.
Luke, salt and pepper.
She said, "I'll give them salt and pepper. I'll season the meat." She said, "I'll season the meat." But we've disciplined our kids since they were young. I think Maddie had one freak out one time. She was watching Caillou too much.
She tried it in the department store.
She tried it in
the
department
store. She
did try
it one more time.
And she
didn't work out for her in Bloomingdale's.
She found out.
Much right now.
There's a graph that my kids understand. This is how much you mess around. This is how much you find out. It's the mess around, find out graph. And look how wonderful she is now. But let me, one time we were in a pizza parlor with pastor friends of ours. And let me tell you something. She, I don't know what it was, but she was given attitude. And she wasn't that old. I mean, she was.
I know you guys see Maddie now, but let me tell you, I got called out a bunch of times in kids' class when she was in the preschool class for beating kids.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, so we all had our moments, but
yeah.
She did. She used to hurt kids.
We were in a pizza parlor
Maddie.
One time. And like, no lie, I don't remember how old she was, but she was throwing it down. She was throwing attitude around. You remember that?
Yeah.
And
all
I was
I saw
like,
was her over your shoulder.
Oh, I whipped her up over the shoulder, taking her towards the bathroom. She was like, no.
Look, Leslie says you still beat Lucas.
She still beats Luke. Yeah. Not
it's
nice.
Okay, because they're my friends.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I'm just telling you. You know, but you watch my kids
Krista
now.
Says, I can't imagine that.
Pastor Josh said, we're glad she's now transformed. That's right. But I'm going to tell you something, that you watch my kids run around, you know, and everybody's still growing, but you watch the kids around. They don't look so repressed. They don't look like all beaten down, coming with their heads hung low. Like, you know, they're full of life. They're full of joy. You know what I mean? You watch our kids. They're full of life, full of joy. Happy, making friends easily, playing with others, hanging with other people. And it's not like, oh, they really discipline those kids. Look at how beaten down they are. No, kids thrive in the midst of discipline. They thrive in it. Because let me tell you one thing discipline does. It sets order in place. And when order's in place, there's a safety that you feel. Mm-hmm. You feel a safety when there's order. Let me tell you, Maddie knows right now, it wouldn't matter who gets. There's stuff that's just not going to fly in my house. It's not going to fly in my house. You know, so she knows Dad's the authority figure in the house. She also knows no one's going to be able to come in our house and do whatever they want. There's a safety in knowing that there's an authority and an order in the house. She knows that about her mom. Her mom will take them earrings out real quick, salt and pepper. They'll get the grinder. They'll get the grinder. And there's a peace that comes from authority. There's a joy that comes from authority. There's growth that comes from authority. And people feel all bad because they have to spank their kids. Let me tell you something. Some of them kids need spanked. I've observed it. I've been to the mall. My kid's never going to be on a leash at the mall or at some amusement park. You ain't putting my kid on a leash. My child is going to respond to a word of authority.
Leash.
Yeah.
Leash.
That's right. Leash. That's what I'm saying, Pastor Josh. A good beatdown will make them happier. Someone's going to clip that from YouTube and make it a reel. But I'm just telling you, there's that is no question, Krista. Safety and peace and joy come with authority because it's putting them in a parameter that makes them feel what they should feel. That's what they should feel. When it's flipped, it changes everything. When you see, Carolyn saw a kid one time at the store, and it was a little girl in a ballerina outfit, and she was demanding.
Never trust those girls in ballerina outfits.
Tell the story. Tell the story.
Tell you right now. You see a little girl in a tutu, you better just get ready because there is something coming your way. I was in Old Navy checking out with the kids, and this little girl was wanting something that her mom was saying no to, and the mom was being like, you know, because some parents are so obnoxious. It's like, no wonder that your kid's a brat. You're a brat. Like they're a reflection of you right now in the store. And so I almost feel bad for the kid more than the parent. But in this case, this was a very nice mother who was quietly leaning down and telling her daughter she wasn't going to buy it and she needed to put it back. And this little girl just smacked her mom in the cheek, in the face. And I was like, oh, this mom needs help. This mom needs help. But obviously, I can't. That kid was looking at me. I was like, go. You want to go? Let's go.
I would say something.
Meet me in the fitting room.
I would say, I was at the mall one time.
I'm aligning the chocolate bars. I'm like, okay, I have to do something with my hands.
I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you something crazy. I was with my grandfather, and he didn't care. He did not care. You know, Stephen Martin said, how's that little girl still living? Have you ever seen a little kid act out so badly that you had, like, flashbacks? Like, you had PTSD? Or, like, I would be dead right now. You're, like, flashing back to, like, hearing your mom or dad hear you say that. Have you ever seen a kid act out that bad? My grandfather, A.E. Shuttlesworth, carried such authority. He would just straight up tell people one time. Emma said, I'm grateful for the times my dad spanked me. Not in the moment, but now I can see
me
the benefits
too.
Of it. Not you, Emma, but she's talking about herself.
Everyone knows my sweet daddy at church, but man, he used to get me with the belt.
You know what? Glenn just brought up such a great point. It's better that we discipline them now. Otherwise, the world will discipline them later. And I don't want my kid ending up in jail or juvie or somewhere else because they've got this big attitude that can't be harnessed because nobody ever gave them any discipline when they were growing up. They thought they could get away with anything and do whatever they wanted.
Well, you set your kid up for destruction.
You set them up for destruction, man.
If they're not going to listen to you and respect you, they're not going to listen to their boss when he has to correct them or anything like that, then you think that they're going to listen to the Lord in life with any type of direction. They're not even listening to an audible voice and the person standing in front of them. Then you have Jesus, the Holy Spirit speaking to them. You really think that they're going to obey? Absolutely not.
Exactly right. And so my grandfather, he just carried authority. I was with him one time in the mall and he was older. You know, he's probably like in his 70s. And, this kid like that just started acting up at the mall, and he just straight up started yelling. He was like, don't let him act up like that. Whip him. Spank him.
Like I can see him.
He like yelling like that. And he didn't like, you know, if there's like a lot of noise or whatever. And one time we went to a pizza thing after church, and we had like the whole family there, and we're out there eating the pizza. He just carried authority. I still laugh about this. Somebody in the back of the pizza place, like in the kitchen, dropped all these pans and stuff. They hit the floor real hard, all the metal on the tile. And he like jumped up from the table and went back to the booth. He was like, "Hey, quiet down back there. I'll send you all home." like he owned the entire place.
Doing that.
Quiet down. I'll send you all home. Every last one of you.
Totally him.
But you weren't going to grow up in his house and just do whatever you wanted. I'll tell you a funny thing. He was still pastoring, and several were visiting the house, and you know, they were all traveling and doing different things. But this was my father, mother, my uncles, you know, and their wives. They were already married. They were already married, you know, and there. And when he was done, he came in. And I think they were playing board games at the time. They were playing board games. And it wasn't even 9 o'clock yet. He turned the light off and said, "All right, everybody go to bed." And like sent them all to bed. They're like married, playing board games. They're all like staring up at the ceiling. It's like 8:45 p.m. He's just like, authority. Hey, everybody. All right, that's it. Everybody go to bed. Then he'd be in there at 4:30 in the morning with a cup of coffee. All right, let's get this show on the road. But I mean, we need more of that authority where when you see these things happening, a lot of times what we're seeing the manifestation of is a lack of authority. And when we put a God first mentality in the home, you know, where the word is held high, we honor the word of God above all else. Prayer, you know, I don't care that it's been, you know, about to be coming up on 14 years. We still, and people think this is crazy, we still to this day, put all three of our kids to bed personally, my wife and I, to this day, every single night. We go upstairs, we say prayers, we do our Miracle Word Kids confession, don't we? She's a teenager in high school, and we still do it every single night. We pray with each child, we say our confession, sometimes we'll sing, whatever. But we're not flipping about it. What are we doing? We're putting the word first, we're putting prayer first, we're putting the confession that we have from God's word first, right? And making that priority. Yes, we're busy. We're very, very, very busy. We're on the go nonstop. Josh Van Hook said, "I just sent everyone to bed in my house in Jesus' name." Everybody get in bed. But no, I'm telling you, don't we? Every single night, we're putting priority on what? The word of God, prayer, confession. Let me tell you, it brings a peace into the house, you know? And there's a peace in that. You know, you're not going to bed. You're not going to bed with nightmares. You're not going to bed, out of sync. No, none of that. Angels are around this house watching over us. You're going to have peaceful sleep, peaceful dreams. Your body's being strengthened as you sleep. These are the things I declare over my children every night. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, give them double hours of rest for every 1 hour that they sleep in Jesus' name. I pray that you would fill them with strength in their body. Thank you that sickness and disease has to run from their bodies. Lord, I thank you. You're giving them a love for your spirit and your word in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that by the power of the Holy Ghost, you'd make them wise beyond their years in the name of Jesus. That's right, Glenn. The enemy's not going to mess with their sleep. People don't realize rest is one of our blessings as a child of God. He gives his loved ones rest. Amen. He gives his loved ones rest. And so this is key. You know, this is key. And now Maddie, you know, and now, you know, we have one confession that we do for Miracle Word Kids that we have on the poster. But now we've added like 15 more things. Because like now, every single night, one of the kids wanted to add another confession to the confessions. Something was coming out of their spirit, you know. And that's key. And now you can see it because now they lead it. Even my son, you know, 7 years old, he leads it like that. Yeah, those are the same types of things, Glenn, that we say when you lie down.
That time's important with your children.
Yeah,
because they're hearing the world all day long. They're hearing problems. You know, they're hearing what other kids are talking about. And it's important to clear their thoughts and then pray the word over them and spend time with them. I like what Erica said. She said night times, putting them to bed is my favorite part of the day. And I love it too. Not because, you know, some people would be like, oh, my kids are going to bed. Yes. No, my kids actually talk more then than they do all day long. It's decided, they decided to unleash their entire thought process on me while I'm laying there in bed. But I lay there and I think this is great. I love communicating with my kids. I love, you know, they're not going to bed with their iPads on and TVs on. And that's not the last thing that they're hearing. The last thing that they're hearing is they're strong, they're smart, they're set apart, they're healthy, wealthy, wise, and full of the Holy Ghost. And we pray and we have a, you know, a Bible reading plan now that we're doing with Miracle Word Kids through the church. So they're looking forward to it. They make sure we're doing it. Like, they're like, we got to read our Bible. And so that's something that has caught on to them. I'm not yelling at them to go grab their Bible. I'm not yelling at them to go do that. It's just now they've seen it so much and their desire is for it. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, we all joke and we're laughing about discipline, but it's really a rare thing. It's very frowned upon out there. I mean, anytime I post a video or anything or say anything about discipline, I get some of the meanest messages and the meanest comments. And, you know, they think I'm the worst person in the entire world. But, I mean, I'm literally just doing what the Word of God says. And like I said, there's order. There's going to be order in my home. There's going to be order when they're at church. There's going to be order when they're in a restaurant. Our kids are a representation of the Lord at a young age. So we don't say, oh, they're five. You know, they can just act like monkeys in a circus at a, you know, anywhere that they're at. It's like, no, correct them, teach them, discipline them if you have to, but be there as their teacher and show them, this is how you act here. This is what you do in this situation. This is a response. If you were presented with this problem, let me tell you a way to get out of it and communicate with your children. I really, 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 with all of my heart, think that is a major problem in today's society with families is communication. Too busy on the phone, on social media. Everyone's too busy doing their own thing. You know, we can't be too tired to parent. We can't be too because if you're too tired to parent, you're too tired to have your faith walk. You're too tired to read the Word of God. You're too tired to fill yourself up. It's like it just goes downhill once again. So I am busy. I am busy. I'm not speaking from this from a, oh, well, I'm just a stay-at-home mom and that's all I do. I mean, like, I'm a very busy person and I have every right to be tired, but I will make a point that I'm not going to let my guard down on certain things because it's not worth it. It's not worth it in the end. It's better to stay on top of things now than deal with things for years later.
Yeah.
It's a shorter time to stay on top of things now than deal with like issue after issue and problem after problem
yep.
later on in life.
Absolutely. So get this. God first mentality in the home. The word is preeminent. Prayer. And see, here's the thing. Your kids don't do what you say. They do what they see you do. They do what they see you do. They may obey something because you tell them, but what their life will be is what they saw you do. Literally what they saw you do. And it's amazing to watch. You know, like people are like, your kids are just like you. It's like, yeah, I realize that. My kids are just like me. My daughter that's
just
sitting right here.
Like you.
Each one of my kids has a very big part of me and a very big part of Carolyn. But it makes me laugh. Maddie, being my oldest one, she does things that are just like me. Just like me. It's insane. But it's true. They're picking things up from you. I said jokingly in one revival, my kids are in an 18-year discipleship program. And they are. They're in an 18-year discipleship program. You've got 4 years left on your discipleship program. 5 years left. But it's true. Because
and then we're not like saying you have to get out.
No. Maddie's never getting married. Right.
But I mean, that's true. A lot of people like that because it's so ingrained in them. There's such when you have kids in this world, then it's like they give you a time clock of what everything is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so at 18, parents are so quick to be like, university, that's your next thing. Okay, it's not. Okay, so you're just going to go get an apartment. And then you're going to get this. And you're going to get that. And then kids have so much debt. They leave school not knowing what they're doing. They go to school and they lose their salvation. And it's like, what was what all that hard work for 18 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm not saying our kids are going to live with us when they're 30.
Oh, they're living with us.
Because it will all work out. But like Maddie, she'll graduate high school when she's 16. Now, some people would be like, what's her next step?
Yeah.
Oh, she's going to go to Bible school? Listen. She's still 16. Bible school doesn't mean that it's like a place where nothing like bad happens.
Nope. I can tell you right now, I went to Bible school.
People,
plenty of bad stuff happened.
But that is true. That
I was
is
not
true.
Involved in any of it, but it happened.
People are like, oh, well, she's going to go to Bible school, so everything's okay. Nope. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way.
No. No, it doesn't. And one of the things, I want to say this, and Maddie, you're going to have to go back to your job now. It was one of them. Her premiere broadcast, put your hands together for Madeline Goodbye. Elizabeth.
Goodbye, everybody.
Shuttlesworth. Great job. Take your chair with you and beat it. I'll spank you when you get home. But I will say this, and this is kind of where I want to hang our hat tonight, is keep the main things the main things. Keep the main things the main things. You say, what do you mean by that? You know, this is interesting because here's a principle that even people in the understand in the business world is do the important and hard things first in your day. You know, even productivity gurus will tell you, don't come into work and the first thing you do is answer emails and check your emails and all, you know, don't leave all that stuff to after lunch when you're tired, you've been working all day. Do the main stuff, the hard stuff, the stuff that needs to get done, the most important stuff. Do it first. And I want to encourage everybody that's watching, because we're talking about your family. We're living in the final moments of time. Jesus is coming very soon. The devil, obviously, is working to try to destroy young person after young person, family after family. God's interested in families. He's interested in blessing your family. He's interested in taking care of you, as that scripture I read in Psalms. He's interested in increasing you more and more. Those who reverently and worshipfully fear the Lord, small and great, doesn't matter where you start. But understand something, keep the main thing the main thing. So when you have these things, it's like, you know, you prioritize what's important. Don't leave the Word of God till last in your life. Don't leave prayer until last in your life. Make the main things. We don't mean to do this, but don't be the person, well, I'll spend some time with my kids when I have some free time or maybe later. Don't push it off. You know, let your kids know and feel that they are important to you. You know, one of the things that it's easy for us to do, but I read this the other day. I mean, it's been a while now, I say the other day, but it's been like a couple years ago. It was like when your child is trying to tell you something, trying to show you something, give them your full attention. You know, look away from your phone to give them your full attention and look in their face. Look at what they're showing you. Look at what they're telling you. Let them know. Don't just keep looking down and scrolling. Say, oh, that's so cool. That's awesome. No, like give them your full attention. Look in their face. Look at what they're doing. Let it be making the priorities of your life be the number one things that you focus on. Let everything else fade till last. Let all the other stuff, you know, when you have free time. But make that, see, you're investing. Here's the thing people don't get. We're investing in our children. Every time that we spend, every bit of time, every effort, every instruction, every small bit of discipline, every part of it, it's an investment. It's an investment into our families. It's an investment into our children. And every moment that we sow into their life, investing in all these areas, you're producing a harvest of yourself that's going to go out and replicate you. That's your legacy. That's your destiny. That God gave you children that you that will call you blessed. They'll call you blessed.
Yeah.
You'll see them accomplish. You know the powerful thing? Some of you that are watching, maybe you were the first to come into the kingdom of God in your family. Nobody before you was saved. Nobody before you was serving God. But you got saved. You're serving God. But then all of a sudden, now you've got children that not only do they get to grow up in it, but they'll never know the taste of what the rest of your family went through. You know, maybe you came out, I say this often because it's a powerful thought. Maybe you came out of a family of alcoholism, drug abuse, debt, broken marriages, and then God set you free from it and brought you into the kingdom. And now you no longer drink. You no longer are even touching drugs. And, you know, you never, you got past that of, and you understand biblical economics. You're not in debt anymore. God's blessing you. You're not going from marriage to marriage. Your marriages, your relationships aren't broken. Okay, you came out of that. But now think of it this way. Your kids will never even know what it tastes like, what it feels like, what it seems like. Your kids will never know what it is to be high. They'll never know what it is to be drunk and hungover. They'll never know what it is to be divorced and broken and hurting and wondering how they're going to make it. Your kids will never know what it is to be, you know, overdosed in some house somewhere with people that don't even care about them. They won't know any of that because you started something new. You started something new with your family. It's a new family tree because of the power of God that's in your life and in your family. God's got a plan to bless your family. Keep the main thing the main thing. And I don't, it's not even a hard thing. I'll say this. A lot of it seems as though it's common sense principles, but the real thing, when you start to think about it, is actually making it happen. Think about it. Everyone knows how to lose weight, but how many people are actually doing the simple things necessary to lose weight? Everyone knows how to not be in debt, but how many people are actually doing the things necessary to be debt-free and not go paycheck to paycheck? Everybody knows what it takes, but how many are willing to actually do the things? It's not rocket science. As President George W. Bush said one time, you don't have to be a rocket surgeon. But, you know, you understand that it's not that difficult. But will you do it? Will you do it consistently? Will you do it consistently to the place that it's going to bring a harvest into your family? It's going to bring a harvest into your children. It's going to bring a harvest into your grandkids. And that you can watch. They saw me. They saw me do it year after year after year. Do the same things consistently. You know, my dad is the same today. My mom is the same today as she's always been. I know what to expect from my dad. I know what to expect from my mom. They've not like ebbed and flowed through the years. And there was a time my dad was really into reading the word and he was really into preaching about this one thing. And then he got away from that. And now he's more into like prophetic painting or something like that. And my mom got into like a spandex praise dance with, you know, I know what to expect. Consistent. They've been the same. Consistently doing the right things over an extended period of time produces such a forceful momentum. There's no devil that can stop it.
But you know what, Angela? Be encouraged because it's not too far for your kids to know the Lord.
That's
now.
Right.
It's not a shoulda, woulda, coulda at this moment. That's the great thing about the Lord is they can be caught right now in their tracks.
That's right.
To still serve the Lord, know the Lord, raise their kids better, have a better life, get the blessings of God in their situation. So listening to this broadcast, you shouldn't feel bad enough at all. Your life's been changed, and your children still have an opportunity to be changed.
Yes, amen.
You're only one prayer away from a miracle, is what my father-in-law has always preached.
That's right,
and that's everybody. And so, if it is something that maybe your kids, you said I got saved after I didn't get to raise my kids like this. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay because they can still know the Lord. Because really, at the end of the day, it comes to a point where they aren't children anymore and they have to get the word of God for themselves. You have to walk out your own salvation.
Right.
And so they're going to get it. And I'll be praying for them. If they don't know Jesus, we definitely will be believing that they will.
He's a miracle working God. Miracle working God. He's a wonder. He's a miracle. Where's my harmony? He's a miracle working God. Thank you, Kara. I'm going to have you pray for everybody. I'm telling you, I'm believing that our families are going to be so impacted by the power of the Holy Ghost. This is just the beginning. You think God's blessed you so far. You've not seen anything yet. And you think that there's, let me tell you this. Let me just encourage your faith. There's not one demon in hell. There's not, including the devil himself, in or out of hell, that has the authority or the power, the wherewithal to destroy your family. Even if you feel like you're in the middle of a fight right now, be encouraged knowing you've already won. The Bible doesn't say Christ is going to give us the victory. It says Christ has given us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. You have the victory. You're not going to have it. It's time by violent faith to just take what God said is yours. Put your foot down in the Holy Ghost and say, devil, this far, no further. There's a blood barrier around my house. And God's taking care of me, watching over me, and we're going to be blessed. I don't care what it looks like in the world. I don't care what it looks like in the culture. It's going to be fine. It is well in Jesus' name. It is well in the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask my wife to pray over your families, over your children, your grandchildren tonight. We're believing God for miracles. Even if you got loved ones, your children or grandchildren that are unsaved and you're believing for salvation in your household, set your faith. Believe this can be your year in Jesus' name. Let's do it.
Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every person on tonight. Thank you that you've given us all the spirit of faith. Thank you that we're taking authority and dominion in our families. Thank you for each and every parent, Father God, that you're giving us a supernatural strength to parent our children in wisdom, in grace, in love, in joy, in peace. Thank you for that strength. Thank you for that wisdom. We have the mind of Christ, so we can answer every bit of destruction that comes to our house, Lord. We're blocking it. We're rebuking it in the name of Jesus. That we are telling the devil to let his hands off of our family. Father God, I pray for children out there. There's no spirit of confusion that can come on them. Thank you that they have wisdom and revelation of the word of God. The fire of God burns in their belly to do what's right, to live holy, to live right for you, Lord, to confess your word, to do what you've called them to do. Thank you, Lord, that our children will not be confused in knowing their plan for life, that they have a purpose, that you're going to speak to them, that the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they will do what you've asked them to do. Thank you, Lord, for the children that we're praying for to believe to come back into the home, Lord, for salvation of our family members.
Yeah.
It is your will, Lord, that we go to heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that you put someone in front of their path to speak to them, to activate that seed that's been placed in their belly, Lord, for the Holy Spirit will call them in, will draw them in. The word of God will draw them into salvation, Lord. And not only will they be saved, but they'll be set on fire for the things of God, and they'll do a mighty work that you have for them. Thank you, Lord, for our grandchildren. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of faith in our family, that we're always going to have the blessings of God in our home. And thank you for each and every father, that they stand strong in their authority. They stand strong in their rightful place in their home, Lord, that you're giving them answers over their family, strength in their family, Lord, promotion in their family. Thank you, Jesus, that our best interest is for us, for the children of God. We're not beggars, Lord. We live in victory in the mighty name of Jesus. We don't beg. We live in victory in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If you received that tonight, put some fire in the comments section. I want to see that you're standing and believing in faith. Your family's going to be saved, your kids, your grandkids. Yeah. Maybe you have a husband or wife that's not yet serving God. Now's the time to receive, hallelujah, everything God has for you.
This is the time.
Jesus' name. This is the time. This is our year. We've been declaring this is a year under open heavens in the name of Jesus Christ. Open heavens.
The world's so goofy right now and so out of control that if we as Christians just live in the way we're supposed to live, we will stick out so dynamically. We will stick out like a sore thumb.
It's sad the bar's that low.
It is. That it's so crazy out there, and people are so nutty and goofy that if we just live the way we're supposed to live as Christians, that will draw people.
Yeah.
That will draw people to the Word of God because they're going to say, there's a peace there. This is, you're not nutty, you're not chaotic. That's you know right. what I mean? And so this is a wonderful time for people to be saved, for people to know Jesus.
Yeah.
So don't get no backbone. Don't get like, I'm not going to be bold. That I'll leave it to somebody else. I'll leave it to the fivefold ministry. This is a time to be the greatest witness that we could ever be on earth right now.
That's right. In Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, we're going to see supernatural change. We're declaring it. America shall be saved in the name of Jesus. America shall be saved in Jesus' name.
Now that's the stuff leaders should be made of.